don't be afraid to run these numbers past somebody you trust or multiple people you trust. And as a physician, we get used to always being the expert on everything. You don't have to be. That's the best way, is just being humble enough to ask for help when you need it.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. We are here for the second half of our interview with Dr. Daniel Ward. Daniel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So in the first half, we talked a lot about financial freedom and building income streams. You don't feel trapped in medicine. If you didn't hear it, please go back and listen to it. It was a great show, and I think it could add a lot of value for any doctor out there, or any professional who's putting a lot of time into earning their income. I'd like to pivot here a little bit and talk about what you're doing in real estate now, and some of the, as regular listeners know, that my interest is now mostly in retail and industrial and some of the outside of renting to residential tenants. What do you have going on right now when we look at it from that perspective?
Well, one thing, just to touch back on what we were talking about in the earlier episode, was one of my favorite purchases was an office condo that we bought. We bought it for the real estate. I was like, oh, this might be a good location. It's like across the street from our current practice. I was like, this might be a good location down the road. Well, lo and behold, the person who was selling it was actually selling the business too. And the business came at no extra cost. So it was a really cool thing for us because it allowed us to buy the property, but also the business, which has been so cool for many different reasons. But one of the coolest things is I've got a daughter with a brain injury. She's 26. She's an absolute miracle, but it allowed us the opportunity to give her a job. And she manages this location, which has been really cool. So being creative, that's maybe one of the biggest takeaways that I could give to the audience, is think differently, be creative. And this little thing became one of the biggest blessings in our lives. Anyways, that's really cool. What I'm doing right now, two things. Number one is we've got a pretty decent real estate portfolio. It's entirely been bootstrapped by me though, which is great if you can do that. But I've got limited resources and I can't do that forever. So I'm kind of at the limit of what I can do. So I came up with an idea that was encouraged by, I've got a couple of coaches, you probably do too. Those of us who are into this space, it's like we need somebody to get us at our best, which might seem silly to some people, but it is maybe the single best thing I've ever done for my career, was getting a coach. So with their kind of help and their guidance, I decided to start a real estate fund. And the whole point of it was, if I want to kind of make the sort of moves that I'd like to make, I'm going to have to do something besides bootstrap it myself. And if I can provide service to other people who maybe don't have the passion that I have for real estate, but they want to get in on the deal, We can do that. So I started Lion Lane Partners. I assembled a team. It's me, a real estate agent that I've worked with for like 10 years, who's just awesome and great. Another friend actually from high school, which is so crazy, but he and I were able to connect. He's into real estate a little bit. His real focus is on self-storage. You know, which everybody loves self-storage right now. He worked as a pharmaceutical rep for like 30 years. And so he knows every doctor in our area. So it's really kind of cool to have him for that. And then the fourth one is a contractor. So the four of us are this group, and we primarily are doing medical, dental, and vision properties. We do have occasionally some self-storage things that come up. With this group, I think when you have a group like this, it's really important to define what you want to do, because you could look at any deal, like any for sale sign you see or anything you see wherever you might come across it, or somebody messages you about some deal, becomes a potential target. Like, oh, could we make this work? How could this work? So we have very clear guidelines. For example, just one of them is we won't even review anything unless we are 100% well, there's no 100%, but as close to 100% as we can be, that we're going to get our investors a 10% annual return. Like, this is the minimum. Ideally, it'd be 20 to 30% return. But the economy being like what it is, with interest rates being what they are, 10% is the bare minimum. So it just helps weed out a lot of the other deals that might come in. And it also, I think, gives our investors a little bit of a sense of reassurance. Like, we're not coming to them with deals that if this and that, and we have this stack of cards is arranged a certain way, it might work. Like, it's just simple. If it doesn't meet that criteria, we don't even look at it. With the economy and interest rates doing what they've done, we've had to be a little creative. A lot of business people, you know, people who are much smarter than me, like Warren Buffett, have said things like, when people are selling, that's when you buy. When people are buying, that's when you sell. And we kind of feel that way with office space right now, commercial office space. Because if people have seen things like Elon Musk's tweets about 40% of San Francisco is vacant and there's a coming commercial real estate crisis, I think that's true in general. But I think the riches is in the niches. And for us, one of those niches is medicine, is dental, is vision. Because you know what? You got to go in and get your eyes tested. You got to go in and get your teeth cleaned. You got to probably go in and see your doctor at some point. I know telemedicine's a big thing, but you got to go in at some point. So even though overall commercial office space is down, we think within this niche, we have a possibility of doing it. So that's kind of the sector we're focusing on. And then furthermore, to kind of get it a little bit more focused, is that we are doing office condos. So for example, project we're working on right now, we're building a building. It's not huge. It's 20,000 square feet, like 22,000 square feet or something. And then we're selling office condos to dentists, family practice docs, optometrists, orthodontists. And the reason that we like this is twofold. Threefold. Number one, it's within that sector that we know that there's going to be a demand for this real estate always. Number two, it's giving these specialists, I'm not sure what the balloons are for, man. But
there's a setting somewhere in Zoom that's giving reactions. So
it's fun. I like it. Number two, it's giving these people, our brothers and sisters within medicine, a chance to own their own real estate. And related to number one and two, we know that lenders are going to lend. So if a family practice doctor wants to purchase their 5,000 square foot office condo, like, that's not a huge risk to a lender. They feel confident that people are going to go there. If you look at the default rate on medical lending for real estate, it's like 0.001% or something. Like, it's like astronomically low for the lender. So it's a safe one. We know that we'll be able to sell these units. And then the third thing, which is a little bit of a side benefit for our investors, is that because they are sold as condos, we can't really sell it as a condo before we have it completed. So we build the building, we own the building. We can do an accelerated depreciation of the building and pass those tax savings on to our investors. And then on paper, the next day we sell the condos off. So we might only officially own the building, the completed building for one day. We depreciate it to the maximum amount we can with accelerated depreciation. We pass that on to our investors and then we sell the units off as well. So it's kind of a good way for us to actually add, of course, some revenue and some dividends for our investors, but also pass on some tax savings to them as well.
You already have lenders lined up. If somebody came and they're like, oh, I don't even know where to get a loan, that you've got somebody who's already interested in lending for them?
We don't for this project. I mean, we do have a resource. Actually, our lender is who we recommend them to, but we don't have something prepackaged for them. For this deal where it's only 20,000 square feet, there's only going to be like six units. So I'm not sure if it's trouble, but that's a genius idea, I think.
Well, for a lot of docs, and especially if it were somebody new or younger, the whole thing can be overwhelming. They're like, oh my goodness, this money, and how do I get a loan? This isn't like a house. And you're like, well, you walk into a bank and you ask for a commercial lender. And they may not even realize, we were talking about this on a show just recently, that the deposits right now, as the lending standards have gotten tighter, banks get really excited about the deposits from a medical practice because you tend to have a large cash flow through the business. And so you have higher deposits on average, which banks love. We were looking at building a building, and it wasn't until I got into that process that I realized how much. I'm like, why do they keep talking about our checking account? It's like, oh, because basically whatever you have on deposit, they can lend 10 times that. I like your group too, because I look back and I think like, okay, you got a builder out there somewhere who's like, maybe they're out there going, I'd love to build medical office space, but I think that looks cool, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know what docs are really looking for. And now they got a doc and they're like, hey doc, is this going to work? And you got a realtor who's kind of looking at space all the time. So you kind of got where everybody brings something cool to the team. Was that something that just kind of happened? You were all kind of bouncing off each other in similar circles and started doing stuff? Or was it really building a team and going, what are the skill sets we need and who's out there we'd want to work with?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it was really looking at, I mean, number one, it's always about, like any team, it's always about your culture, right? Like you want a group of people that get along and are ready to work together. That's the most important thing. But then also, yeah, like getting incentives aligned. Yes, our realtor, he will be the one that sells these condos. He is going to be motivated to sell them. So by him being an investor and having his own money in there, we really love the fact that he has that alignment of incentive to help make sure that we move these condos. In addition, because he is an investor, we can do some things like if this, if that, like give our investors some comfort knowing that if they're not selling, he will lower his commission or something like that to help make sure that their investment and their return is protected. Same thing with a contractor. With construction right now, it's crazy. Even though COVID's over and a lot of the crazy supply chain things have been there are going away, there's still like weird delays on just odd things that can happen. And he can't get rid of all those things, but same sort of thing. Like our primary commitment is to our investor. It's all about that integrity of maintaining it with our investor and making sure that we are maintaining those relationships. But if it comes down to it, he's going to decrease his profit that he gets from being the contractor in order to help preserve our investor's return.
And also he's got another motivation to getting it done because he's got money tied up in it to get it sold. Not just the investor, but his interests are aligned. And that's such a great aligning interest so that everybody's on board, because anybody who's ever had anything built knows that where you sit on your contractor's priority list can be a frustrating thing if you're not the one at the top.
For sure, for sure.
I was thinking about that, the team, because for a doc who maybe wanted to move into this space, that's kind of a cool space that somebody as a doctor could invest, because you bring a level of knowledge. If you know nothing about real estate, you know what you like in an office. You've heard your peers talk. You've got an idea of what a medical office should be like and what part of town you want it to be in and all these types of things that are valuable information for a builder who wants to be building medical office space, for a realtor who wants to sell it, for lots of different places. So that's an interesting standpoint for somebody to kind of jump in and have a place to join a partnership.
Yeah.
When you met these folks, and this is always the one, because I always go back to this, because a lot of docs always feel like everybody wants to take advantage of you. My wife and I even have a joke about the doctor price with contractors. Yeah. As soon as they find out what you do, the price just went up. Right. And years ago, we had a friend and she was a lawyer. And we're like, do you get that? Do you get the lawyer price? And she's like, oh no, as soon as they find out I'm a lawyer, they leave. We can't get anything done. But oh my goodness, now I forgot where I was going with that. So we get this fear of being taken advantage of. So do you have any advice if somebody wanted to go out and vet some partners to try and do things as far as a contractor or people they're going to put on that team to work together with?
I mean, it's hard. I think that you're right. I love physicians. I feel very passionate about caring for this group of individuals, but physicians can be the most annoying people to work with too. Our whole lives, we work smart, we work hard, all this and that. We think that we are, and it's sometimes hard for us. I'm truly saying, I'm putting myself in this category as well. It's hard for us to have that humility to like step back and be like, okay, yeah, I worked for 16 years to get where I'm at, plus everything after my training. But you know what? I don't know a damn about real estate. This is stepping back and kind of being humble. And I think there is that fear of being taken advantage of that kind of adds to it. And sometimes some of like the investor calls when we're talking to a potential investor and their concerns are just so like out of line of what I think they should be, or they're just making really kind of silly choices about what they want to do. And I think it all comes down to people make decisions. Of course, they kind of rule things out. I think it was like a sensitivity, specificity thing. They rule things out based on their brain, but they actually make a purchase or make an investment based on their heart. And I think it's really hard to not be hurt that way. And so finding your group, you need to find people that you trust, because we can be taken advantage of. Look at the numbers, be smart, but also just be humble. Like, don't be afraid to run these numbers past somebody you trust or multiple people you trust, whether that's an accountant, whether that's your neighbor who's a realtor, whatever. And as a physician, we get used to always being the expert on everything. You don't have to be. Like, I know about rhinoplasty, but I don't know anything about hard money lending for land in wherever. So I better run this past somebody who knows more than me. And I think that's the best way, is just being humble enough to ask for help when you need it.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. Yeah, like a business banker. I mean, that's the great thing about banks is they kind of know about, if there's somebody out there who knows there's a bad dealer out there, the banks will usually know who that is. Or the other ones I think of, oh, like some of the service clubs, like the Kiwanis or the Lions, because a lot of those, usually because they're doing public service stuff, if somebody's a total scoundrel, they probably aren't involved there, but you're going to learn from those groups. You're also giving back to the community, but you're going to learn about some of the people there and be able to find people to give you references. And those are, I don't know, I was just trying to think where else that you go out and find out about people.
If you or your listeners are familiar with EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, EO is, I joined, I don't know, 3 years ago, and it's been one of the best things I've ever done because you are just surrounded with like-minded individuals, and entrepreneurs are different and it will challenge you as a physician. And I wouldn't join it. I mean, they've got criteria that allow you to join or not, but that group is the single best resource for me for like any sort of business thing, whether it's like an HR question, a marketing question, legal question, whether they are physicians, I'm the only physician in the group, but whether they're a physician or they own a solar company or a restoration company, construction, steel company, whatever, they've dealt with these sorts of issues before. They may not have the answer, but they'll have the resource to like direct you to so you can find your answer.
That's awesome. Yeah, I recently joined GoBundance. So it's a nationwide, and it sounds similar that it's kind of focused on helping each other. And it's a bunch of incredibly successful, motivated people who are trying to, it really focuses on the whole life, not just your business, but who you are as a person. And those are great resources to find. I don't know, quickly, I guess I have a higher level of trust of the people within the organization, because once you see the organization run for a little while, you start to see that the people who aren't meeting the level of ethics or support for the other group members and are just kind of takers, they move them along. They're like, you're not contributing to this group. You're just taking. So that's pretty cool. So the one you talked about is called EO, or Entrepreneurial Organization.
Organization. Yeah, EO. It's a great organization. I think the other thing that it does, I don't know why, maybe it's just like the competitiveness of medical school when we're in undergrad or whatever, but there's like this competitiveness amongst physicians that is so counterproductive. And it drives me crazy. And it's not there in the business world. Like, people who are competitors in the business world will cooperate. Like, I'm sure that Wendy's and McDonald's aren't like sharing whatever recipes, but on the base level in the community, like, there in general is more of a cooperative environment. And I really wish in medicine we would do that more. I'm sure it's a psychologically complex issue, whether we're tied up with jealousy or we're tied up with the fear of being taken advantage of or whatever. But so often we shoot ourselves in the foot as physicians by not being humble and not being happy for other people's success.
That's interesting. I wonder if that is, like, we go through this process where you're in or you're out, getting into medical school, either got in or you didn't, getting the residency you want, you're in or you're out. And it's not until you've really been ingrained with that over a decade, that in a decade of your formative years, that you get out in practice and it's no longer this strict competition anymore. And we've already been kind of formed at that point. That's interesting, because that was a hurdle for me, is seeing that there's so much opportunity. And once in a while, somebody might take your deal or whatever. But in reality, there's more people who, when you interact with them, you're going to find solutions that maybe you didn't understand. And a lot of the times, these people will be super happy for you. I'm in this commercial mastermind, and it's one of my favorite things that happened with the new season, is there's an industrial building in Cincinnati that, like, all of the top guys in the group had looked at over the last 2 to 3 years, because initial look at it, it looked like, man, there's some great things about it. But then there were problems with it. And it was really because of this long-term lease. And everybody had looked at it and put it aside. And then these two ladies who are new to the group dug in it and dug a layer deeper. And they found the golden egg to make this deal go. And it's going to be a total home run for them. And all of the people who had passed on this, they're the most excited. They're like, oh my goodness, somebody solved the riddle. And a little bit of it was a process. Like, every year somebody picked this deal up and dug into it and couldn't make it work. And after enough renditions, somebody found the golden egg finally. So it's pretty cool. I don't know, to find an environment where somebody failed, and then when the next person succeeds, they're almost more excited than the people who succeeded, because the new people don't know how much thought went into this project.
Right. I mean, going back to something we talked about earlier, when we were talking a few moments ago about finding someone to help you vet deals or to know if you're being taken advantage of, because there's this fear as physicians that we're going to be taken advantage of. Keep that story that you just told in mind, though, because a lot of times the banker, the accountant, whatever, they may not be able to see that little nugget. There's a reason that people missed that for so long. So I'm not saying that you should take, like, crazy chances or something. Like, you need to be certain about what you're investing in. There's always risk, of course. That's kind of the scary part, but it's also part of the fun, of course, you and I know. But a lot of times the person who works for the bank, the banker who works for the bank, who maybe is going to analyze a deal, they're probably working for the bank for a reason. And it's not because they're a creative thinker. And I don't mean that in a denigrating way. It's just like a different personality type. They're just not going to see that possibility like a true visionary would see it.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely. And they have their place that they can evaluate it from one perspective, and they can help you find out about the partners, the people, the history. They know a lot of stuff. But yeah, uncovering that gem. And that's why maybe the gem is there, is nobody's looked at it from the right perspective to say, oh, wait, here it is. So
I just want to say a little bit more, like, I'm not saying to discount what they're saying. It's not either they have good advice or bad advice. Their advice is their advice, but their advice comes from whatever their perspective is. So you search for multiple people to give you advice from different perspectives, so you kind of have an all comprehensive view of the deal. But keep in mind that what this business banker says, what the accountant says, what the realtor is telling you, they all have their different perspectives and their different incentives and motivations. So take it for what it's worth, and then integrate that all together, and then make a decision that's going to be best for your goals.
And sometimes they may all give you all the pieces to the puzzle. And because they're not talking to each other, but you're talking to all of them, is they hand you the whole thing. And then you go, huh, that wasn't that hard, but it was just talking to people.
Yeah.
So
that is the work. Real estate is not all passive. There is active. There's no such thing as a purely passive investment for the most part. There is some degree of active requirements to it. That's the part of it that is. That's the reason why, for like my fund, that's why there is a fee for what we do, is because we're doing all that work coming up with it. So I just think that's important for people to know.
Yeah, the fund fee. So this is one, just because you mentioned it. Because when I started investing, and when I was investing as a limited partner in syndications and things like that, there was a lot of talk about the fees within a fund. And as I talked to some people, they really got hung up on the fees. Like, somehow that was a bad thing. And it was really a hurdle when somebody told me, they're like, listen, this is the price that you're paying for them to provide the service so you can get the benefit. Now, if they're taking a 10% fee for you to get a 5% return, that might be excessive. But if they're taking a 1, 2, 3% fee and you can reliably get a 10%, that might turn out to be a 20%. I mean, really, I try and look at it now like, what are the returns and what are the reliability and the quality of people I'm dealing with? And sometimes the best returns come from the people who are also making the most money on their side too.
Sure. For sure.
That's because they're good at it.
I love that you said that. So many physicians think of this as a zero-sum game. Like, if they benefit, I lose. No. Like, get rid of that scarcity mindset. No, like, if they win, I win. Like, we both win. And to me, that's the biggest challenge from having a real estate fund with that kind of primary targets medical sort of things, is getting physicians past that scarcity mindset where if person A wins, person B loses, or person B wins, person A, like, no. Like, we all win if we work together.
And I know some syndicators who, they've been doing it long enough that they're financially fine and they know they're going to have deals and they're going to make more money. What they really get excited about is hitting home runs for their investors. They love when their investors call and are like, are you kidding me? What? I just looked in my bank account when the deposit came. What? And it's like Christmas in July, you know? Yes. And that can be a really fun part. And that's where, if you're looking to invest passively, there's part of your homework. Find people who are successful and they love giving good returns. It makes them feel like when your kid wins a basketball game or something, that they get more excited than you are.
Yes. Love that you just said that. That is so true.
Well, this guy, I just have to, within your bio, and I ask this question, everybody, what is your superpower? And yours is perseverance. Surviving nuclear blasts. Just kidding. I was once told that a cockroach and Dr. Ward would be the only things to survive a nuclear explosion. That's a great compliment. I mean, that says, like, you're going to figure stuff out.
When I was first told that, as one of my attendings as a resident, I was like, holy shit, like, what do you mean I'm the cockroach? He's like, yeah, we call you the cockroach. I was like, what? I don't want to be a cockroach. And he's like, no, it's because you'll survive whatever. Like, we can do whatever and you'll be fine. It's like, no, don't tell me that. But yeah, I mean, I kind of joke about it now, and I hope that's still true. But I'm just a big believer that we are so blessed to be able to be alive, to be able to live the lives that we live. Like, I can't believe that I get to do what I get to do. And it's not that my life's not without troubles. I'm currently going through actually a really terrible personal thing that's totally self-inflicted. And it's hard. It kind of hurts. I feel a little bit of pain in my heart right now. But life is still beautiful. I'm looking out the window. I can see some geese flying by. I'm having this really inspiring conversation with you. I had a couple meetings this morning that I found myself being inspired by. And I would encourage everybody to just try to live, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're going through, whether you're getting that deposit in your checking account with a 35% return when you're only expecting 12%, or whether you're getting the call for the capital call that none of us want to make as a real estate person or as an investor, or your kids are sick, or there's a cancer diagnosis, or whatever you might be going through, this life is beautiful. And we get to choose what state we want to live in. If we want to choose to live in a beautiful state where we're happy and we're satisfied and we're finding joy, we'll find that. We can also choose to live in a state where we're not. I know as soon as I tried to make that transition, which I won't say that I do it every day. I mean, even somebody like Tony Robbins, he goes through a little routine, a 10-minute routine every morning to get himself primed to take on the day. So it's a constant challenge, but you do that and all of a sudden opportunities seem to come forth. The universe seems to bless you and you get to go forth and just live this beautiful life.
That's an awesome place to finish the show. Dan, thank you so much for being here. This has been amazing. Any last words of wisdom, or I guess that last pearl was so good, I don't know where we go from there.
Buy the real estate. Just kidding. No. Use real estate as a tool for you to kind of find freedom for you and your family and choose to live beautifully.
If listeners want to get a hold of you, where can they reach out to you?
So at WardMD on Instagram, or they can email me doctor@wardmd.com.
All right. And that'll be in the show notes. Dan, thank you for being here. Everybody who's listening, thank you for joining us. I hope we've brought you some value in today's episode. And join us for the next time on Surgeon Syndicate.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning.
My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate, in retail, in industrial, in office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, no other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call, and we can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.